The Acts of the Apostles, a continuation of the Gospel according to Luke, recounts the life of the first generation of Christians following Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. During Eastertide, we hear regularly from Acts as the apostles plant and build up the first church communities. In today's reading, we are reminded in the story of Peter's raising up of Tabitha of the critical importance women held in leading the early church. They hosted Christian community for worship and ministry, mobilized the community for charity work, and helped organize support for the apostles' ministry and witness. A reading from the book of Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity at that time, but at that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Let us say together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. And you have sinned my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The book of Revelation, a letter attributed by tradition to John, was addressed to Christian communities in Asia Minor that were likely suffering under persecution in the late first century. The text, filled with dramatic, strange, and cryptic imagery, is a classic example of ancient apocalyptic writing. Apocalypsis is a Greek word that literally means an unveiling of truth, here intended to offer direction, hope, and encouragement to the faithful during dark times. In our reading today, we reach the height of the great vision of all the redeemed gathered in joy before the throne of God. The image calls the earthly Christian community to persevere through difficulties, drawing courage from the hope of the full life with God in Christ that is still ahead of us. A reading from the book of Revelation. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Christ.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the authorities gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. And happy Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a nickname for the fourth Sunday of Easter in the Western tradition, particularly as it's held by us as Anglicans and also by our siblings in the Roman Catholic tradition. And so we hear these stories about Jesus as the shepherd. And John's narrative today telegraphs that to us in a number of ways. One of them is that Jesus is at the feast of the dedication of the temple, and he is standing in the portico of Solomon. And Solomon, in the tradition of the first century, was considered one of the good shepherds of ancient Israel, one of the good kings, one of the good guides through his wisdom. So there's a way in which John wants us to hear Jesus taking on that mantle. But if you notice in his argument with the authorities, it's not about him laying claim to some celebrity identity. It's about what he is doing that shows he is faithful and he is the good shepherd. And so John, I think, wants to draw us into the narrative, into this place where we get to reflect on Jesus as the faithful shepherd. And what does that look like for us? Well, I want to offer just a few vignettes from this week. Some of them will be very familiar to you. I'm sure you heard a new pope was elected this week, yeah? And, you know, if you are on social media at all, you know there's been a lot attributed to the pope, which probably is not true in many instances. There's a lot of projection, as there often is, when it comes to a celebrity figure. My hunch is that Leo XIV understands this and its perils, just as his predecessor did. I was asked by one of our parishioners who wrote me and said, I see that he's a White Sox fan. It came through. Are you going to see Bishop Austin soon? Because I want to hear Bishop Austin's opinion about the fact that he's a White Sox fan. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, yesterday evening, Cliff and I went together to the Episcopal Community Services Gala at Bimbo's in San Francisco. Yeah. It was quite a fundraiser, quite a resplendent event. And I did see Bishop Austin there, so I said, so one of our members wants to know, what do you think about the fact that the new Pope's a White Sox fan? And Bishop Austin paused for a moment, and he chuckled, and he said, he's a man of hope, then. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. The dangers, of course, for Leo XIV and for anyone who is elected to high office in the church, in a position where you are commanded to shepherd people, is that there is all of that projection that gets sent up to him. I think one of the ones that just floored me this week was written by somebody who was very excited about his election, but who wrote, you know, Francis saved the church, and now Leo is going to save the world. And I thought, you know, the church and the world already have a savior, don't they? Right? And I think it's safe to say that Leo XIV would agree with that. His job, like our job, all of us who are in positions to shepherd others, and that includes you in your various vocations, our job is to point to the Good Shepherd in what we say and in what we do. The other vignette I want to share with you this week comes from a memorial service, a celebration of life over at St. Stephen's. We celebrated the life of one of our former archdeacons in this diocese, Dorothy Jones. Let me tell you just a little bit about Dorothy. Dorothy was known as a formidable figure for many and a commanding figure. And before she was archdeacon in the diocese, she was deacon at St. Stephen's, and I was a lowly seminarian there. And to pull up the images of this day, from that time forth, Dorothy always called me by name. And she always, always picked up the thread right where we left off, no matter how long it had been since we had last spoken, no matter how long it had been since I last told her what I was doing and how my family was doing. She knew exactly where we had left the thread, and she wanted to know more. She was always shepherding. And that came up over and over again in the reflections about her in that service. No small irony that it was at that moment that the new pope was being elected. It was the same moment we were celebrating Dorothy. We were being constantly reminded, as the Spirit always does, about the faithfulness of shepherds. Dorothy was one of those, a shepherdess, as our hymn goes, on the green. I bet you have people in your life who are exactly the same as Dorothy. who have shepherded you. I also bet that many of the mothers in this room have been faithful shepherdesses to their families, to their children. I bet many of you know people who have mothered you and shepherded you through thick and thin. I lift that up to you today as an image of the Good Shepherd at work in our midst. Because our Good Shepherd does not just speak through text or tradition, but also speaks through his followers, through those who offer their hearts to him. And so we are being constantly watched and tended, especially by the people who love us. And their work is the Good Shepherd's work. And that's good news. Even if you're a White Sox fan, hope for the world to come.
The first one ever will ever to know of the birth of Jesus was the Maid Mary, was Mary the Maid of Galilee, and blessed is she.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.